Greetings, friends and gentle listeners, and welcome to episode 30. I like that good round number. Episode 30 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast, coming to you from the summer sizzle of Palm Desert, California, here in the Gulf and sporting oasis of the Coachella Valley. I'm your host, Judd Spicer, four-time award-winning writer, associate member of the Gulf Writers Association of America, former ESPN radio co-host, 11.2 handicap, and so on and so forth. Got a great show for you this week. It is a triple threat of guests. It is a first on the Spicer Speaking Podcast. And dare I say, for a Luddite like myself, something of a technical feat that was seemingly pulled off. It is a Coachella Valley Course Project Roundtable. Talked a lot on this show over the past, about 11 months now, about the rise in golf participation, about the rise of golf equipment sales, about the rise in golf memberships, private club memberships, home buys out here in the desert. Well, as a potential segue from that, we are seeing a whole mess of golf course projects going on in the desert across these summer months. Not atypical, of course, during the slower season. Have a couple things going on, whether from a maintenance perspective, maybe a few touch-ups architecturally, some agronomy at play. I count no fewer than 8 desert properties undergoing some project of substance this summer. Here to speak, and we're all going to speak together to 3 of those projects. This is a great guest list. Alan Stussy, he's the superintendent just up the way at the Reserve Club in Indian Wells to discuss their project. Oklahoma-based architect Trip Davis, currently overseeing thorough renovation of historic Thunderbird Country Club. And Tyler Truman, superintendent across the 36 holes of Mountain Vista Sun City in Palm Desert, a pair of those Billy Casper designs. One of the 2 courses in his purview, the San Gorgonio, undergoing extensive work right now. Again, it's a round table. We're all going to be speaking together. Of course, none of this would be possible without a trio of excellent sponsors. That list starts weekly with Perform Better at PerformBetter.com. Got to tell you, friends, that episode last week had a couple of Olympic young guns, Peyton Otterdahl and Nick Ponzio. They've worked intimately with Perform Better over the years. A lot of downloads for that article last week. A lot of throwers out there. Going to hear more about Perform Better as the Olympics get underway this week, undoubtedly. But it's for yourself, whether you're looking to outfit an entire gym, maybe you're looking to get into throws. You can check out Perform Better's sister company, Everything Track and Field. Or maybe you just need a couple barbells, dumbbells, stretchy balls, stretchy band. Check it out at PerformBetter.com. Desert Willow Golf Resort. Get your tee times for the Mountain View and Firecliff courses, respectively, at DesertWillow.com. Don't forget about those summer junior and kid programs I mentioned last week. You can also find that on their website. And the Palm Desert Golf Academy. Had a visit there myself in recent days with Paul Busey. I'm going to tell you just a little bit more about that lesson, some of that swing study, in just a moment here. Last but never least, internationally renowned golf photography from John and Janine Hennebree. You can check them out online at TheHennebrees, HENEBRYS.com. Haven't seen Johnny for a little bit. Spends his summers up in Washington State playing grandpa. I think he and his wife, the lovely Linda, probably taken a few photos of golf courses along the way. I'd be very curious to find out what's added to the portfolio at thehennebrees.com. Before we get to this week's roundtable, trio of guests, a couple quick hitters for you. For the hockey fans, out there. And of course, we've got our own AHL franchise coming in, what, about 16 months from now. For the parent team, the Big Daddy, it's a big week. We got the expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken this week, followed by the NHL draft, in which the Kraken have the number 2 overall pick. Nice work by our pal Shad Powers and the Desert Sun. Speaking with Troy Bodhi. Troy, you might recognize his name, former NHLer, former AHLer, former ECHLer. He's played in a lot of leagues. He is now the director of hockey and business operations for our Palm Springs AHL team, yet to be named. Chad had a nice chat with him. I actually had an opportunity to speak with Troy about 2 weeks ago for an article I've been putting together for a good long spell. Still not going to come out for a couple months. For Palm Springs Life magazine, talking about the team, talking about the arena, talking about the culture, the community of bringing hockey to the desert. Again, that's a few clicks down the line, so in the interim, see what the Kraken do this week. Might be a future Palm Springs AHLer, if not a handful of them, whose names that we are going to hear or learn this week. Hope you enjoyed that Open Championship. Near impeccable performance from Colin Morikawa, capturing his second major. That's going to segue back to my home front in the Twin Cities for the third version of the 3M Open. They got themselves a pretty decent field. First two years had some fine players. That is again going to be the case this year. World number 2 is flip-flopped again with John Rahm. Now world number 2, Dustin Johnson, is going to be appearing. Louis Oosthuizen, still seeking that first win on American soil. He's playing in the 3M Open. A couple other names I want to drop. Ricky Fowler is going to be out there. Emiliano Grillo is playing. Tony Finau. Bubba Watson. Matthew Wolf. You might remember he was the inaugural winner of the 3M Open. Finished tied for 12th last year. So certainly likes the TPC Twin Cities. A couple other names are out there. Sergio Garcia, Patrick Reed, defending champion Michael Thompson. All the best to the folks at the TPC Twin Cities. Mark Mikulski, he's the superintendent there. Worked with Mark on several pieces over the years. Always has that golf course, the Arnold Palmer design, in fine showing, whether it be for the Champions Tour, which preceded this event, or again now for the 3M Open. I mentioned Desert Willow Golf Resort in my visit last week, with Paul Busey. It's going to be kind of a running thread over the duration of the rest of the summer months here on the Spicer Speaking podcast. Probably going to have 4 or 5 visits with Paul. Started in mid-July. Probably going to go through mid-September. Maybe the end of September. Really looking at swing plane. I've got the habit of not just the ugly over-the-top move in the follow-through of my swing, but also some basic fundamental takeaway problems with my swing path, my swing plane, opening the club face, breaking the hands, and again, that's all leading to bringing the club face over the top. And Paul, hey, we interviewed Paul many times. He's been on this program, done articles on Paul in the Palm Desert Golf Academy. But getting this full, nearly 90-minute lesson from him, man, he is an excellent communicator. That was the first thing that really struck me. But he was also very interested in hearing about my game, in hearing about what goals I might have, and then giving me some baby steps to work with. Again, not just for a lesson or two, but in months ahead, looking to shave that 11.2 handicap back down into the mid-single-digit range, get it back down to a 7 where I once was. I would be thrilled with that. Got a lot of work to do. Got to take some of these lessons to the practice range. And again, baby steps. Didn't even come close to full swing, which was just fine by me. Let's just implement some of this muscle memory and do it piece by piece as I get my swing path, my swing plane, to a place where my ball striking can just be way more consistent, especially, as I've mentioned, probably more than a few times with those mid-irons, which are a major problem for Uncle Juddy. Friends, all that noted, let's get to this week's roundtable.
All right, friends, this is preface and technical history, I hope, fingers crossed, on this edition of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. Not one, not two, but three distinguished guests in a roundtable format and fashion, all visiting at the same time. As mentioned, desert course projects, not uncommon, but would seem to be in abundance this summer. All told, I count at least eight different facilities in the desert that are undergoing either architectural or agronomic projects of some substance. To me, that only vibes something of a trend. To find out a little bit more why, let me introduce this trio of guests from Mountain Vista Sun City, overseeing the two Billy Casper designs, a chapter of the GCSA. Had the pleasure of interviewing him before for some projects, although never see him in person. We welcome Tyler Truman. Tyler, thank you for joining, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Got a whole mess of work going on at the San Gorgonio course, and that's where the old man and I like to duel when he's in town for the peak season. Oklahoma-based architect Tripp Davis overseeing a thorough, we call it two-year, renovation that has now gotten underway, rather, at historic Thunderbird Country Club. It is the first and oldest 18-hole course in the desert. Of course, hosted the 1955 Ryder Cup. 70 years old, but 40 years removed from the last major renovation at the famed Rancho Mirage Club. Tripp, appreciate your time, sir.
You bet.
Last but certainly not least, he is the superintendent at the Weisskopf Morris Design Reserve Club, just up the way from me in Indian Wells. Certainly no bias, but one of my particular favorite courses to play, not just here in the desert proper, but in all of Southern California. It is Superintendent Alan Stussy. Alan, appreciate you joining, sir.
Well, thanks for having me.
Since I took a while to introduce you, Alan, I'm going to start with you. We know that the reserve 21-year-old A4 Bentgrat greens are being converted this summer. You and I did an article on this about a month or two ago, being converted to Tiff Dwarf Bermuda grass. Let's hear about your project.
Yeah, so really, I've been here at the reserve for about 3 years now. And since I joined the team here, you know, obviously, bentgrass is kind of a dying variety of turf here in the desert. And, you know, just over the years, there's been a trend of courses that actually do have bentgrass remaining. They've been converting due to a number of different issues, or just challenges, really, you know. Obviously, it's cool season grass here in the desert, and that comes with a different total maintenance program and how to kind of beat the heat and get through all the tough times in the summer. So we've done okay, but last summer it was kind of a different summer. We had over 20 plus days over 100 than the previous years, and that was kind of an indication that this is, you know, not necessarily just a trend last year, but maybe something that's coming up where it's just going to be harder and harder to keep this grass around. It really wasn't just the high temperatures. The low time temperatures were what was really concerning. Just didn't cool off at night, and the grass never really got a break. So, you know, luckily this has been on the, you know, discussion board for quite a while here at the club with the, you know, the board of directors and the membership as well. And it's just something that, you know, we were able to, you know, just get on the calendar for this summer. And it's nothing crazy. We're not completely shelling out the greens this summer, just going down 4 inches of our root zone because we have a really clean root zone. And after some, you know, performance testing, you know, kind of seeing how the greens drain and all that, realized that we really just didn't need to go far down at all. So stripped the grass, took out 4 inches of mix, and then replaced that mix with the 90-10 peat and sand mix. And, you know, really just sprigged the last of the greens last Friday. And, you know, we're planning on overseeding our greens this coming fall. And, you know, just really think it's going to be a great direction. We no longer will have fans around our greens. A lot of savings operationally with fungicides, you know, just hand watering and just everything that kind of goes towards that high level of maintenance that's needed for bentgrass out here. So it's been good so far. The first greens that we've sprigged are coming out great, and definitely had some nice humid weather lately. So it's been just a great experience so far. We're just super excited about the direction that we're headed.
Quick follow-up for you, Alan, and absolutely, yeah, it has been a hot start to the summer, and particularly humid, maybe atypically humid a little bit. You think that's helped the process?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, it seems like once we started putting sprigs down, the humidity rolled in. So I don't know if that was just some luck, but it definitely was appreciated. And it's, you know, seeing the grass green up in a week, as I've seen some sprigs that kind of just sit there for a while, for a couple weeks in the past. So this has been a nice change, really, just seeing how the grass is moving. And just, you know, a little drier this week, but our establishment's been really good. It's been great.
Outstanding, Alan. We'll come back to you. Let's move on to Tyler Truman over at Mountain Vista Sun City. Tyler, got to get some details of exactly what is going on at the San Gorgonio course. In my humble estimation, more muscular of the two courses. I always play a little bit better at the Santa Rosa. That's usually where I beat my dad. He kind of beats me at the San Gorgonio course. He's been gone for a spell, which is to say haven't been on the property in the last probably 6 to 7 weeks or so. What exactly is going on at the San Gorgonio? Looks like a big project, man.
We got a lot going on this year. We decided about a year ago to start. It started about 3 years ago with the USGA coming in and looking at our greens. We had about 4 or 5 greens where we just didn't have a lot of pin placements on that, and people getting beat up and balls not rolling where they need to be, or going putting up to the pin and then the ball rolling back towards them and behind them. And so that's where it started out as. And it's like, okay, we do those. And then it's like, well, guys, if we're going to do those 4 greens, we need to do all 18 or 19 greens. And it's make sure we're consistent from our base layer all the way up. So we decided to do that. And we hired Casey O'Callaghan to design that for us. And then it's like, okay, with this, let's look at doing some of the bunker. And then it ended up being redoing all the greens complexes and all the bunkers on the golf course. And then with that, we were planning on to do the irrigation at the same time. And so it's like, let's do it at the same time. And so that's got started. Then we got into the process in March. It says, well, what about some of the lakes that we have designed to be redone? And so in April, they decided, hey, let's redo 3 lakes. One of them happens to be my irrigation lake. So it's been a stressful summer, especially the last 2 months with not having an irrigation lake, trying to keep the rest of the golf course alive on that. And that lake's been completed, and it's filled with water. And once that got done, we started sprigging greens, and the first 9 holes have been sprigged and starting to grow in. Like Alan said, the humidity, I know people are hating it, and I'm loving it right now. And if there could be more, I'd be thrilled to death to have more on that. So that's what's going on with the San Gorgonio. It's been a project, and I think we were lucky when we started our project. We started it back when COVID was kind of on a downslide, but before it picked up last July, made some good business decisions, and it saved us a lot of money by when we started and we pulled the trigger on doing a lot of the construction and the irrigation.
Casey O'Callaghan, of course, Trips Competition. Desert golfers will know his name from the excellent work that he's done some time ago now, but excellent nonetheless, along with Amy Elcott, if memory serves, over at the Indian Canyons South Course. Quick follow-up for you on that, Tyler. You mentioned the greens, and the greens are one of the toughest aspects of that San Gorgonio course, which does prove a little bit more muscular, I think, than most people anticipate that have never played it before. I'm going to come back to that course and exactly when. I don't know when it's going to be reopened, but if you can specify that and tell us a little bit more about what we might expect, how they're going to play when it reopens.
Expected right now, it's going to be open October 25th. We won't be overseeding the greens this year, give them a whole full year. Hopefully our residents and our members like it without being overseeded, and continue doing that moving forward. They've had some good success with that at Ironwood with not overseeding the greens. on that and keeping color and playability and recoverability that have been really good on that. One of the reasons that we also, because of the USGA and pin placements, is we've looked at our demographics of our aging population. Yes, we're a retirement community, but looking at to make it more enjoyable for our higher handicap players and stuff like that. When Casey went in to do this, yeah, there's some greens that have been softened a little bit, but I still think it'll still be challenging out there. One of the holes that was one of the hardest holes out there, hole 14, we've moved that green about 30 yards forward, enlarged it so it doesn't slope into the back of the water, added bunkers along the whole right-hand side. We've made the lake a little bit bigger, so it'll encroach a little bit. So I still think it'll play as our hardest hole, and there'll be some sudden undulations that their people are not used to coming back. But it makes it to where we had several holes that penalized you if you hit the green. And in a certain places, you hit the green, you had a great shot, but it rolled off the green. And then you were chipping off to dome greens where balls would roll off the back of the greens. That's not going to be there. So it's going to be making it more enjoyable, but I still think it'll play hard. And actually, I play better on the San Gregorio course than I do the Santa Rosa course.
Move on to architect Trip Davis, as mentioned. Just began in recent months a thorough renovation of Classic Thunderbird Country Club and Rancho Mirage. This is going to extend until the fall of 2022. $6.5 million renovation project. Should mention, Trip, been 40 years since the last major renovation over at Classic Thunderbird. What are you working on, man?
Well, the primary intent was really renewal of the infrastructure. You know, we knew that we wanted to do a few little things as it relates to playability strategy, the way the golf course plays. But as much as anything, you know, the bunkers have not been really touched in a long time, you know, basically 40 years. And so last summer we introduced some different types of sands. We introduced a couple of, you know, some different type of liners that could be and how that would play. And to come up with what we ended up using. But essentially what we're doing is we're renewing the infrastructure, you know, new sand, new liners, new drainage. But, you know, I explained to the members that in the process of, you know, of fixing the bunkers, we don't have to keep them where they're at because we're going to regrass the whole golf course, which is the other thing we're doing from an infrastructure standpoint. You know, the turf that's there now is older and thinner. And so there are a lot of areas where, you know, the surface drainage wasn't quite as good as it could be. So a lot of thinness in turf. And so we wanted to reestablish everything with T2 Bermuda because we had a hodgepodge of grasses out there to begin with anyway. And so in the process of regrassing everything, when you're rebuilding bunkers, you're not really hemmed into where they're at. So we went through and have moved some bunkers around. We are rebuilding a handful of greens. You know, Roger Compton, the superintendent there, I call him the legend, is, you know, that has been there for quite a while. Going almost 30 years now, has always really kind of worked off of having essentially push up blow sand greens. And, you know, some of the greens that are here are original. Some of them have not been touched. Some of them have been rebuilt. And so he had a hodgepodge again of different types of greens. There are four greens on the golf course that were USGA spec. Most of them were just, blow sand push up, you know, for the most part. And he generally found that he had on his site better success with the blow sand greens. And so that's what we're putting back in. And we're going to take out all the USGA spec greens. We're rebuilding a couple of greens completely for strategy playability reasons. But I thought the green complexes were pretty good elsewhere. And we're just modifying, like number one this summer. We just took number one green. We stripped You know, like Alan was saying, we stripped 4 inches off the top, put 4 inches back in. I actually had them put about 5 inches back in and, you know, modified the surface of that green just a little bit so that it was a little more interesting. And so at the end of the day, we're going to have, you know, regrassed the greens, all the greens on the golf course, regrassed, you know, fairways and roughs, rebuilt all the bunkers and relocated them all. Redoing the practice facilities. But the intent, Judd, really was to, and I think one of the reasons I was hired is because I do a lot of restoration work and renovation work of historic golf courses. And, you know, most of the work we actually do is on the East Coast. They wanted to retain that classic feel. They didn't want someone to come in and blow it up and build a new golf course. And they didn't want it to have a resort-like feel to it. They wanted it to feel still Parkland, you know, but it's been fun. It's, you know, the humidity that these guys are really looking forward to and have been enjoying, I have not been enjoying, because I finished shaping my own greens. And so I've been shaping 1, 2, and 3. We are building a little putting course on one of the larger putting greens that we had. And then the short game green we're regrassing. So I've been on a sand pro finishing those greens for the last 2 weeks, and the humidity has not been as much fun.
Quick follow up for you, Tripp, and you did kind of speak to it. I actually want to read a quote from you. This was from our pal Larry Bohannon in the Desert Sun, interviewing a few folks from Thunderbird, head pro Nick DeCock among them, when Nick said, "Some outstanding candidates apply to retain the job. But Tripp was the one who was really accepted by the membership." What does that say to you? And I guess it's kind of a two-part question. I mean, I know that you know, a lot of your work and a lot of your portfolio is working on these classic courses, but there's got to be a philosophy that jives with the membership when you're doing that.
Well, you know, I'm fortunate, I think, and that's kind of what I am good at and what I do. And I don't really go in and try to sell anything other than that. You know, I try to educate the membership on what I see in their golf course that can, kind of harken back to that old classic style and feel, you know, things such as just, you know, the way that bunkers are shaped, the strategy of the golf course. And obviously, as was mentioned earlier that Casey's doing there at Sun City, you got to know your client too. I mean, you can't just forget that that like a Thunderbird, the average age of the member is coming down a little bit, but it's still about 73. And so, you know, for instance, the bunkers are going to be a lot easier to walk in and out of. We're not really doing a lot to penalize players in fairway bunkers to the same extent we would. Like next summer, I'm also going to be redoing Atlanta Athletic Club and to get it ready for U.S. Women's Open, hopefully. And it'll be a totally different vibe, you know, from in style. But the membership at Thunderbird really didn't want to lose the kind of the Parkland classical feel that golf course has had and has the potential to have again. And, you know, I think some of the other guys that came in, I think, you know, we're talking ideas about, you know, even reversing some holes around and, you know, really blowing it up quite a bit. And, I love, you know, the fact that they played a Ryder Cup there. And, I want to bring back the way that kind of look and feel. Like we've got a great picture from the putting green looking down the first hole. And, you know, there were a few trees here and there, but you had this great view of the mountains. And they had planted so many trees over the years, and some of the trees had become so big. Ken Alperstein and I were working together on the landscape there, you know, that we wanted to restore a lot of those offsite views too. But we didn't want to go in and change the fact that it's a really fun golf course to play. There's no point in trying to make it any harder. And we didn't want to lose the feel that it has and enhance that classic feel. And that's what the members were attracted to, I think.
Friends, you're tuning into the Spicer Speaking podcast. Alan Stussy Tyler Truman and Trip Davis are my guests on this special round table episode about Coachella Valley course projects going on right now. As I mentioned before, by my count, these are three of at least 8 different properties which are undergoing coursework architecturally, agronomically, maybe some of both, maybe one or the either over this summer season. Again, not uncommon to use the summertime to attack a few projects, but to me, this vibes something of a trend. It also would seem to segue from a series of months, pandemic months, where we saw golf rounds boom, where we saw golf equipment sales boom. And as I had the opportunity to write about for Palm Springs Life in recent months, as it pertains to the desert, we saw country club memberships and home sales boom. And I'm going to bring it back to you now, Alan. Thank you for your patience, by the way. Is this coursework, is it an extension of what we've started to see over the past 15 months now for all these other rises I've referenced?
Yeah, I'd say, aside the fact that we're just kind of, going a different direction, getting the bent grass, off the course and going to a more kind of sustainable direction. But yeah, definitely. We've had a nice boost of membership this past year and just a great energy here at the club, seeing a lot of new members coming in, really excited about the area, excited about the property. And, just want to continue really building off of that, giving our membership something they can be proud of. The new members coming in, I'm sure we'll be bringing in guests this coming year as well. And, just spreading the good word about, kind of the reserve and all the great things that we have at the club, including the golf course. Just, the resurgence of golf this past year has been pretty extraordinary. And we've seen it here at the club too. A lot of rounds increased this past year. And, it's been a great thing for our club and for a lot of clubs in the area. Definitely. I think this is a lot to do with that as well.
And I know that your greens project, you and I spoke about this before, it's been something that's been discussed for some time. Given the rise in membership, given the rise in rounds and the other things we just discussed, is now the perfect timing for your property to be approaching this project?
I believe so. I think, there's always you always try to time things as best as you can. And just kind of seeing how the grass has been reacting to the weather out here, and kind of what is happening the last few years is, members would come back in November and our greens wouldn't quite be up to par, so to speak, for what we'd like to provide for everybody. And, there's some scarring from the summer from disease on the greens. We did a lot of seeding, a lot of plugging to try and get the surfaces back. And, just didn't want to get to the point where, last year we were pushing it with the amount of recovery needed. And, I think this year it probably would have been even worse potentially. So, I think it all in all, I kind of view it as, you can wait to hit rock bottom before you make change, but I'm the kind of guy who likes to kind of try to plan to go out on top. And I think we had a great season this past year, and the golf course was playing great. And I even had a lot of comments from, members that have been around a while asking, what are we doing? Why aren't we replacing our greens? And just really for the health of the club, to reduce some of the hemorrhaging, so to speak, with operations, expenses, expectations kind of living up to what we would like to provide too. It just all seemed to come together.
Tyler, I'll turn that same question to you. Is the coursework and the course project that you've got going on, you feel that it's part of a trend going on right now, a reinvestment in the property?
Yes and no. I don't think it had to do with COVID a little bit. One thing, like Alan says, is planning. And that's one thing I enjoy about working here at Sun City Palm Desert is they plan things out and have things taken care of. So there are no special assessments to our members. Things are paid for in advance. And we plan for these things years in advance. And so this is something that here at Sun City, this was planned for 3 or 4 years. and budgeted accordingly to do that. And instead of coming up saying, hey, we need to replace the irrigation system, well, for the last 5 or 6 years, we've been talking about it, and now it is. And going to say, hey, there's no special assessments. We've planned for this, and we've budgeted for it, and so we take care of it. I mean, I think we're close to $10 million in our project this summer with everything. And I've told people today, I should have bought a lottery ticket last July when we purchased HDPE pipe. We bought it at the absolute low a week before prices started going up. We were supposed to do this project starting this year instead of this last year. And just in pipe prices, we've saved over $1 million just in our pipe on those things. So for us, I think planning has helped out more than anything. COVID, yeah, it was part of it. But for us, planning for those things and planning for the future in our particular case.
Trip, I'll bring it to you lastly, and I think we'll conclude with this one. Your impressions, I mean, of course, the three of us are all based here in the desert. You are working on projects in the desert, but also working on projects in different parts of the country. You also live in a different part of the country. Do you notice this as a trend, that the rise in rounds, the rise in equipment sales, rise in participation and so forth, that it's now segueing to reinvestment in respective properties?
I think it's, I agree that, you know, some of the clubs, you know, had planned on this. I think for most clubs that are doing work now, even next year, COVID probably helped get some excitement for the project going, but I think it was going to get done anyway. You've had to plan a little more. I mean, like, for instance, for next year, projects next year, some of them are going to be really difficult. And we're doing a similar project in Houston right now that, you know, almost didn't happen because of COVID, because people, you know, were concerned about where the club was going to be and the economics of everything. People were playing a lot of golf, but, you know, revenues in the shop were down. You know, we saw that inflation was going to be happening. You know, ADS warned us and warned a lot of people about pipe prices when people stopped coming to work. Atlanta Athletic Club did the same thing, you know, where they bought all their pipe well in advance. One of the guys from ADS actually said that Atlanta Athletic Club may have more N12 drain pipe than any other distributor in the country right now. And so I think the trend around the country is that it's helped the greater interest in golf. But I think a lot of the projects were planned out. I think some of the projects next year may not happen because of COVID-related inflation, and or however you want to, you know, tab the inflation we're going through right now, because, you know, the cost of a lot of the products and materials. In the desert, it's really stayed fairly. We haven't seen too much in the way of increases to, like, sand and gravels and grass and so forth. Around the country, we are. And around the country, we're seeing huge increases in the cost of materials. Cost of labor for contractors has gone through the roof. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see what next year holds. But the desert is a unique place. You know, I've been actually going out there since about 1989. My last year, I played for the University of Oklahoma. We had a bunch of alumni that were members at PGA West that had let us come out and practice and so forth. And my wife loves it out there. And so I told her she should have bought a house last year before everything went through the roof. In any event, yeah, I think a lot of the clubs, you know, the guys that, you know, the guys here, you know, have been prepared. And that's the key whether you're doing any kind of renovation, especially when you have the ability to do it in such a way that the membership is not going to have to come out of pocket with an assessment and so forth. But It's a, you know, the, I love working in the desert, the environment there, not only just from, the kind of work you can do and the climate in the winter, but the people and the golf industry there is such a, it's a small world, and everybody kind of works with each other, helps each other. It's really cool.
Well, I don't know if Alan was quite yet at PGA West during your time there in the late '80s, but certainly had his hands in the prowess of that property. Fellas, that's the time that we've got allotted for the day. We literally have about 1 or 2 minutes. If you have a question, comment, suggestion for one another or the other respective projects. If not, I thank you so much again for all your time. Go ahead.
I'm glad Alan got his correct sod or his correct stolens last Friday. We had a mix up of them ice.
Alan, are you, did I hear you're using Tiff Dwarf?
Yeah, going old type.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what, you know, Roger kind of thought that. And did you look at the others? Did you look at Mini Verde and any of the other Ultra Dwarfs?
Oh, sure. You know, I love the idea of non-overseeded greens, to be honest with you. I think it's, you know, if this isn't the year, it's definitely coming soon. That's how I view it. But, you know, our membership, their main concern really here was the firmness of the greens. They didn't want it to be too firm. And in order to help that out, I wanted to see if we could, you know, still kind of prep the greens and put the seed down and, you know, give them a nice kind of canopy, so to speak. That's the one thing with not overseeded, you know, as it gets cold, a little bit harder to, you know, just keep control of your putting surfaces. And of course, I'm sure Tyler would be fine with that. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things. Every club's got their membership and what they're looking to have on their course. And I thought that was going to be the right direction for us. It's the best grass, in my opinion, in this area, at least, to overseed into. And it recovers quite well in the summer. So it's kind of the, you know, the reasoning behind that. But.
Good. Yeah. Well, you guys probably remember Aaron Englehart that was at Ironwood. Yeah. He's actually the new superintendent at the project we're doing in Houston.
That's cool. Yeah, Aaron's a good dude.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed having, you know, have working with him there. But he and I went over and looked at Ironwood. I want to say it was in the winter. And, you know, it was in the winter. I think it was actually like late November, maybe early December. And that was right after that kind of freeze or that cold snap that had gone through, and it made kind of grow in tough, you know, and his greens took a little hit, especially the higher up the hill you got on his course.
Yeah.
You know, that Mini Verde got zapped a little bit up on top, but I agree with you. I think, you know, that I think they'll eventually get to where they don't overseed greens in the desert.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. So greatly appreciated for all your time, for all you joining this week's episode of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. Technical success, namely, it would seem. Really appreciate it, guys. Alan Stussy of the Reserve Club, architect Tripp Davis, currently working on Thunderbird Country Club, and Tyler Truman, overseeing project at Mountain Vista Sun City. Thank you all, gents. Really appreciate your time. All right, friends, with that, it's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. Again, let me thank my trio, my round table of guests, Alan Stussy, Tripp Davis, and Tyler Truman. Whole mess projects going on in the desert this summer. Those are certainly three of the most intriguing. We'll see where all this leads. Maybe people are going to keep playing more golf, buying more golf clubs. Folks reinvesting in their golf properties, architecturally, agronomically. It's an exciting time to be in the golf world and on the golf course. Of course, none of this would be possible without a trio of terrific sponsors. That list starts weekly with Perform Better, performbetter.com. All your gym, workout, fitness, seminar needs. Need to outfit an entire workout facility? Or just need a couple bar belts for your home gym? Pump away at those pecs in the garage? You can get them. Along with free shipping over $49 at performbetter.com. Desert Willow Golf Resort, one of the finest municipal facilities, not just here in Coachella Valley or SoCal, but all of California. It's just right down the street here in Palm Desert. Tee times made for the Mountain View and Fire Cliff courses at desertwillow.com. Again, I want to mention those summer programs for juniors and kids. Certainly don't forget about the Palm Desert Golf Academy with Paul Buesley and his team. You're going to get players like me, either back on track or right on track. Looking forward to my next visit with Paul. Work on that swing plane a little bit more. Don't worry, Paul. I'm doing the lessons that you gave me. I'll be back there next week. Internationally renowned golf photography from John and Janine Hennebree. Whether you're a golf course owner, operator, looking for some new imagery of your course. Maybe you're an avid golfer, traveled the world or nation over, looking for that photo that you never got of that favorite course that played one day. Chances are you're going to find it. The vast portfolio of the Hennebrees, HennebrYS.com. Thank you so much, friends, for your time, your interest, your ears. Really appreciate all the support I've gotten with the Spicer Speaking Podcast. Be safe out there. Be good to one another. And hey, I'm probably going to say this on every show, hopefully not too long, but at least for the immediate future. If you haven't got your shot, just go get vaccinated. 14-day change in new cases across the country. It's up 198%. Those are cases. Well, deaths, tragically, over the last 2 weeks are up over 44%. Help combat that. Just go get your vaccines. All right, thank you for listening to that. Thank you for listening to this show, and be well.